The Messiah is promised. As Matthew said, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Now some today say, he didn't really say it, but a New Testament prophet interpreted that way. I think that's a cop-out. I think what we should take from this memory verse is, this is what is said. How can I perceive it? How can I grasp it? I have the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's take that gift and read his word, seeing in it, as he said, they are they which testify of me. Part number one, birth of the Messiah. Isaiah predicted that unto us, that is the people of God, family of Abraham, a child is born. So the Messiah would be a child. It's remarkable how even today the Tibetans think that their Dalai Lama is a child that is born. Heathen systems are perversions of the truth. That the child would be born in Bethlehem. That the child would be born of a virgin. That the word Emmanuel, which would be his name, would be God with us. That he would come through the seed of David, through a virgin, with the nature of man 4,000 years down the stream from Adam. There are some who think he had the nature of Adam before his fall. He had the character of Adam before his fall, but he had the nature of man 4,000 years down the stream of time. Let's not confuse character and nature. He had the seed of David, he had the seed of Tamar and Rahab and Ruth, these Canaanite, Moabite women and murdering men that we see in this genealogical table. He had their nature, but his character was totally sinless. Jesus' ministry was announced by Malachi, 400 years before he was born. The announcer would come, would declare that the Messiah was here. And John the Baptist, the messenger, with the spirit and power of Elijah, explained how these predictions were now to be fulfilled. He says, there's someone here whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to loose. He is the fulfillment. And when Jesus Christ came, he was observed with doubt. Can this be the Messiah? We know his father. He's a carpenter from Nazareth. We know his family, his brothers and sisters. Can he be the Messiah? Now Jesus started to preach, just as the prophets had said. The psalmist declared that he would speak in parables. So he began in parables. There are some 38 or 40 recorded in the New Testament. Jesus desired to awaken inquiry, to arouse the careless, to impress with the truth, with popular stories that commanded respect, that attracted attention. No more effective method of instruction could have been employed. Jesus employed it. And even his enemies, even the arresting officers who sent to arrest him said, never man spoke like this man. We've never heard anything like this before. Fulfilling the prophecies that by his quiet method of parabolic teaching, he would impress the people. Part number three, the final days of Christ's life. Zechariah described his triumphal entry. Zechariah was about 500 years before he was born. How he would ride into Jerusalem, riding upon a colt, the foal of an ass, never been broken. Perfect control. This animal, not spooked by palm branches, waved in his face, claws thrown at his feet, a multitude shouting and singing, under the control of the Creator, coming in triumph into Jerusalem. The scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers trying to silence him. And Jesus saying, if these children of people didn't cry out, the stones would immediately shout out. And the multitude accepted him. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And 5 days later, the same people were shouting, crucify him. Crucify him. The psalmist had declared that his friend would betray him. Wasn't an enemy. It was somebody who had been with him for years who would betray him. Zechariah foretold the exact amount of money that Judas would accept as a bride, a bribe. So when we think of these details, and we could find dozens of others foretold by the prophets, we wonder, why was he not accepted? In his crucifixion, sword will arise against my shepherd. The sheep will be scattered. False witnesses will bray against him. He will not even hear their accusations. He will be silent before his accusers. All these prophecies were fulfilled. When God's written word was given through the Hebrew prophets, Satan studied with diligence the messages concerning the Messiah. These prophecies caused Satan to fear and tremble, but he didn't believe. And we have seen that these prophecies fulfilled in Christ's time did not lead to belief either. Part number 4, Christ was to be crucified. Prophets declare that he would be beaten and spat upon, that he would be accused falsely, that when he died he would be weakened by fasting and thirst as the object of scorn and ridicule, that he would suffer with the transgressors, a thief on each side, that the Messiah would be pierced by a sword, by a spear, that the Messiah would be given vinegar to drink, that not a bone would be broken, that he would be buried in a rich man's grave. The statistical probabilities of all these details being fulfilled do not exist. Jesus was the fulfillment of the prophecies. Part number 5, the resurrected Christ. Isaiah declared that he would be buried with the rich, that he would be executed with the wicked. The psalmist had sung that the Father would redeem him from the grave, that would receive him up into glory. After he had suffered and died, his body would see no corruption, no decay. So on the third day, he was raised. The psalmist declared that he would ascend, that the everlasting doors would be opened, that a procession of myriads of angels would welcome him to the abodes of his heavenly home. And that when Jesus ascended, the Spirit would be given. The Pentecostal outpourings were a sign that Christ had reached the throne and had been inaugurated as king and priest. Part number 6. The Savior of prophecy was to come not as a temporal king to deliver the Jewish nation from earthly oppressors, but as a man among men, live in poverty, humility, despised, rejected, slain. That the Savior was to offer himself a sacrifice, on behalf of the race, thus fulfilling every requirement of the broken law. In him the sacrificial types met their antitype. His death on the cross was to lend significance to the entire Jewish economy. And when all this was fulfilled, he came to his own, and his own received him not. What a warning this is to us, to treat the light that has been given to us with great love and appreciation.